חומש עם איזה שיר, אין שום איזה שיר. Somebody asked Akasha, why is it that by Zav, in Parshas Mitzora, by Zav it says, if the Zav counts his Shivanikim, וחייתו הזב מזוגו, בסוף הבא שבעה סיום מתחרוס, התחילת בזודו, ורוחץ בשור במים, במים חיים בתוך. זה הסתובב על המת, במים חיים. ורוחץ בשורו. The very next parasha speaks of the Valkyrie, which to say to the Menashev Vazera. And the pasuk says that for him to become Torah, it says, ורוחץ במים is called בשורו. Why is it that the Valkyrie says called בשורו? But it's not because בשורו. This is a kasha that one of the talking is. The Rabbein Mishulam suggested a teretz, and then he discovered a Baha'ad that appeared to say this teretz. He said that the Sifra on the Pasuk Rochat is called Psoroi, comments called Psoroi, that you call Psoroi Bevasachas, that when you table in a mikveh, the mikveh has to have 40 soul in order that the entire body should be able to be submerged under the water at one time. You can't stick in a hand, and in another hand, and a leg, and in another leg, you have to have the entire field of Bevasachas. And that's turned out by the Sifra, the Gemara quotes it now. The Psoch and the Sifra darshan zav in the Pasuk, is called Psora. Hashem came by a Zav, you don't need called Psora, called Gufa B'lasachas. The Zav can stick you in a hand at a time and a foot at a time. Avery, it's called Tfilah L'Hatzoyim. And why should the Kaka be a difference? So he suggested because the Zav requires Mayim Chayim. Mishnah has said the very first parak in the voice points out in the Pesukim there are two types of mikvahs. There's a mikvah and there's a Mayim. The Mayan is referred to by the Chumash as Mayim Chayim. Mayan means the water that comes from under the ground. And Mikveh is water that comes from rainwater. Most of them is rainwater that comes from heaven. And sitting in an Eshborim, sitting in a crack in the ground. So we usually have what's called a Mikveh. If you take it in the ocean, that's called a Mayan because the water from the ocean comes from under the ground. It doesn't come from the rain. So the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in the Torah speaks of the different dinim, the Chiluki din to a Mikveh and a Mayan. One of the differences the Mishnah says is there are two differences between a mikveh and a mayim. One difference is that a mikveh is only the type of the eshborin, where shevim is a crack. So you have to make a crack in the ground, that's called an eshborin, and then have the rainwater accumulate there. And the word mikveh means cup of the kaima, the water has to be standing still. If you have a mikveh where the water is moving, let's say the rain, it's pouring rain, and then there are floods and floods all over the area, and the floods are rolling down the street, and somebody's tummy. I have some kalim that I bought from the building. Why? Because of them, so I can just put my forks and knives in front of the building and have the flow of the water go over it. That's called zochlin. Zochlin is not good for a mikveh. Hashani came from Mayon. Zochlin is good. Okay? The water in the ocean is always moving. Mayon, when the water, the source of the water is from under the ground, doesn't come from the rainwater. So then the Mayon is part of the zochlin. There's one difference between a mikveh and a Mayon. A mikveh is only the part of the eshborin. If it's sitting in a crack in the ground, whereas a mayon is mitarev zochlin. The second difference the Mishnah has is that a mikveh requires memsor, whereas a mayon does not need memsor. A mayon is mitarev kolshim. Kolshim means much less than memsor, very little. So the Rabbein of Meshulam, yes, how could a person be tovel in a tiny bit if the Gemara said that you need memsor? Mayim shekol gufo elabahem, the human body can't fit into a mikveh if there's less than memsor. So if you have 10 sor, how's he going to fit in? So obviously he's going to stick in a hand at a time, and put in a time, finger at a time, whatever. Until the entire surface of his body will be covered with the water. That must be the pshat. He discovered the Baha'i comments on that Mishnah, the Baha'i Lachazadah's comments on that Mishnah, that a mikveh mitahir, the mem saw, and a mayan is mitahir b'kolshehu, so the Baha'i comments. The Baha'i says something about rolling in the mikveh. He says the person can roll in the mikveh. What's the guy rolling in the mikveh for? So Rabbi Mishlom said this must be the pshat. If the mayan is talking about the mayan, the Baha'i. It's unclear. Everything the Baha'i is unclear. Never know what the Bahag is called. So it must be the Bahag referring to this kind of case that he just discovered Pshat over here. That the Mayan is mitired, the kosher means you don't even have Memsor, you have Tensor. So how's the guy going to roll in? The answer is, how is he going to fit into the Mayan? The answer is, he's going to roll in it. He's going to first lay down on this side, then lay down on the other side, then put his toes in, and his fingers in, and his hair, and everything a little bit at a time. And that's the Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says by the Valkyrie, that the Valkyrie and everybody else has a Tefillah and a Mikveh, or a Mayan. Either a mikveh or a mayim. So the Chumash doesn't stress that you need dafke mayim. It says tefillah and mikveh. So there it says that you need kol psoroi. Rochat says kol psoroi. Kol psoroi b'vasachas. That you have to have dafke memsor. That you cannot have tefillah lachatzoi. Hashenik and the Zav, the Mishnah says the famous that there are three cases where you need dafke mayim. And mikveh water is not sufficient. One of them is tefillah zav. And the next one is kiddush mechapas. You have a paradume and you shecht it and you burn it. Take the ashes, you have to mix the ashes with Mayim Chaim El Keli. So The Chumash says in Parshas Sukkos, you have to have gavka mayim chayim in the kli. You can't just take any water. You can't just take rainwater. Water from the tap. It has to be gavka water from a mayim. And the third case is in today's sedra that by the mitzora it becomes tahor. So you have to take also mayim chayim in the kli. Mayim chayim means mayim from a mayim, water from a mayim that comes from under the ground. And shech the tzipra hashkut on top of it. And dip in the tefillah so ezev and do the hazoras. The hazoras ha-mitzora require mayim chayim. The tefillah of the mitzora himself, the person who is the mitzora, who's table to get rid of the tumah, doesn't have to be table. Mishnah says he doesn't have to be table in a mayim, he can be table in a mitzvah. But the hazoras of the mitzora, the hazoras of the tzipra hashkut and so on, the Chumash says require mayim chayim. Those are the three cases Mishnah has: zav, the kiddush mechatos, and hazoras of the mitzora. So here the pasuk is speaking in parshas mitzora. Pasuk speaks of the tefillah hazav, and the zav needs mayim chayim. So that's what the pasuk says. Rochatz b'mayim. It doesn't say rochatz. Rochatz is kol b'sora. It says rochatz is b'sora b'mayim. Why not kol b'sora? But since it's a mayim, then the Mishnah says mayim is mutar b'kol shu. Kol shu means that you don't need kol gufa b'vasach. That's exactly what it means. This is what the Rabbeinu Meshulam said. So the Rabbeinu Tam heard about this. He blew a stack and he said, he wrote in a letter to the Rabbi Mishul, he's going to put him in Kheir, Chas v'chalim, it's connected to him, it's against Ganshas, it can't be such a thing. And if he's matim and he's a chorus, any woman is terrible in such a situation, he's still a neidon, her children are b'nei ha-neidon, and so on. So he sent this letter to the Rabbi Mishul, and Rabbi Mishul said, no, Chas v'chalim, he never passed like that. He just suggested that maybe that's pshat in the pasuk, maybe that's pshat in the Mishnah. So then Rabbi Natan has all the letters, including the second letter to Sefer Yosha. So he says that that's not pshat in the Mishnah, that's not pshat in the pasuk, and the whole thing is wrong. Hi, what did the Bahag say about somebody rolling in the mikvah? What's he rolling that? No, he said Bahag is something else in Gansi. There's a Gemara that says, Rav Yosi says in the end of Asachas Nida that a woman is tevil in a mikveh has to be tevil standing up in order to be able, or a man, a woman, whoever is tevil in a mikveh has to be tevil standing up in order to be able to spread out the arms and the legs, that there should be no chatzitis. You require the water to touch all the outside parts of the body. So what if, the mikveh is very, very shallow? So for the person to be tevil in the mikveh, he'll have to crouch down, or lean over, or lay down in the mikveh. So then Rav Yosef says that there's a chashash that the water may not touch all the parts of the body. So go, l'chatchil, it's proper to be tevil standing up in a deep mikveh. So the Gemara says, Mikra, then we pass him against Rav Yosef, and you can roll in the mikveh also. If you have a very shallow mikveh, you can roll in the mikveh. That's what the Bahag is talking about, somebody rolling the gander in the mikveh. But it doesn't mean you roll in the mikveh first this side and then that side, because it's talking about a mayim. The whole thing is not true. It's interesting that there should be such a machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Meshulam at such a late date. It was unclear what pshat in Tfilas Mayon was. I wanted to speak a little bit just about Inyoni Mikvos. The Bachman Yeshivas usually learn those Masechtas that have nothing to do with the Mikvah. And then even when it comes up here, we come across it more about Mikvos, we usually skip over it. I just wanted to give some Rashi talking about Hilkos Mikvos. As I mentioned before, the Mishnah has in the very beginning of Mikvos, at the first paragraph of Mikvos, that there are two types of a Mikvah. There's a Mikvah and a Mayon. Two differences that the Mishnah mentioned between them is that a mikveh requires mem sov, as a mayim does not. And the second difference is that a mikveh requires an eshbora, and it has to be covered with kaim, standing still in a crack in the ground. The word eshbora comes from the word shever. Whereas a mayim is mitar bizochel, and even when the water is moving, let's say the water comes up from under the ground from the fountain, and it rolls on. And it has no limits where it's going to stop. There are no borders. Even though it's on its way, rolling down, it's still mitar. Lahalochet. We never require any mayon, because we don't have the mayon community. The only time we need a mayon is for a zav, or for hazor of a mitzvah, or for kiddush mechatas, and none of that is nagir bismanazah. The question is regarding a zovah. At the end of the parashas mitzvah, first it describes the dinam of a zav, and then it has the dinam of a zovah right afterwards, and it sounds as if there's a bit of a parallel, because the zav needs shivinakim, and the zovah needs shivinakim. And then the pasuk says beferish by azav that you need mayim chayim. By azav it doesn't say one way or the other. So it would appear al pi pshutu shal mikra, the Ramban says that azav should require mayim chayim. So the Ramban says although pshutu shal mikra seems to indicate like that, that there is a parallel between azav and azav, and the only differences are those which the pasuk spells out, namely that the zavah has dam flowing from her body, whereas the azav doesn't have dam; he has zivah, and a few other slight differences between them. But in regard to Ma'im Chaim, it would appear after Pshuta that the Zovah should also need Ma'im Chaim. So the Rambam points out, but the Gemara says not so. The Mishnayos and the Gemara see that it's not so, that the Zovah does not need Ma'im Chaim. The Gaonim, several of the Gaonim, and Rashi quotes from his Rabbein, who claim that the Zovah does need Ma'im Chaim based on the Pshuta shall be cooked. And all the Gemaras, they said there is no Gemara Fakert, and the reverse, they interpreted Gemaras to indicate Rashi quotes this pshat in several different places that the Gemara seems to indicate that a zava does need matka. This posed quite a problem because this man hazeh, he had a chumrah of Rebbe. The Gemara has a chumrah of Rebbe that although in Atzeret there is a big difference between a nido and a zava. This man hazeh, Rebbe the Tana, Rebbe Yudah Nasa made a takone that all women have the status of a Torah. The woman has to act as if she doesn't know, she's a Torah that she's making a mistake, whether she has a din of a zava or a din of a nido. So if all the women have a din of a suffix zav, a suffix nidim in the Rabbanon, so they should have all the chumers of each. So they do have, that's why we require shiva nikim. Shiva nikim is only needed for a zav, not for a nidim. Nidim doesn't need shiva nikim, she needs shiva yom. Even if the dam is flowing all 7 days, she'd be payable, if the dam stops, she's payable after the seisak kachon of the seventh day. A zav needs shiva nikim, so we're machmet to treat nashi didan, our women as a suffix nidim, a suffix zav. So according to this opinion of the Gaonim, and according to this opinion that Rashi quotes from his Rabbeim, every woman who wants to be tameful today should need a tefillah in a mayon, which we don't do. So mikaradin, we don't pass them like that. Some are machmir like that, but in Garish Chassidim, in Europe they were machmir very much to require dafke a mayon for two reasons. One was because of the Shitas Hagonim and Rashi. And since all the women today have a din of suffix nida, suffix zavua, and the Pshutish HaMikra and some Gemara seem to indicate possibly that a zavua needs mayon chaim, so you have to have dafke a mikra of mayon chaim. A plain mikveh, we have a mikveh that's the water is collected from rainwater, but not suffice. That's good for a nida, but it's not good for a zava. And then there's one more reason why we'll get to later, why you should be machna dafka to require that the source of the water should be from a mayon, is my answer. So if you pass this, we pass in aloha that there's no need for a mayon. The only time you need a mayon is for a zav, or for hazos, or for mitzor, or for kiddush meichat, is none of which we have. What are the dinim of the mikveh, halacha l'maaseh? So one din is, we mentioned two dinim before, one din is that you need avoyim so. Where does the shir avoyim so come from? So the Gemara seems to say that it's a din d'araisa. The rachas is called psor b'mayim, ma'am shekol gufo elabayim, v'kamahem shir ha-chachomim em so. So the Lashon HaGemara, although the Lashon HaGemara shir ha-chachomim, the chachomim estimated that it should be mem so, Rav HaKoskim assumed that this is a din d'araisa. The Beis Yosef, the Yerodesim, the Beis Shalev says in one place, it's hard to find anything. This Yosef is so long, the similar Shalach, it's a Mayim Shein on himself. So this Yosef says in one spot, in half a line, that it's only with the Rabbanon. And the Levush is the one who makes a full sentence in a full paragraph about it. The Levush in similar Shalach in Yerideya says that he thinks that this requirement for Memso is only with the Rabbanon. Let's say a person is a midget, and he can fit into a mikveh that has 30 store, 20 store. So this Yosef and the Levush claim that the need for Memso is only with the Rabbanon in such a case. All of the Achrayim disagree, and they quote Mishnayis and Rishonim, and everybody else is told that it's Medaraisa, and they all jump on the Levush, and they protect the Beis Yosef that he never said it, that half a line doesn't belong there, it means something else, and then one, the troublemaker over here is the Levush, and they say Levush always makes lots of mistakes, and he's one of the mistakes, and the Ungarish Achrayim, the Ungarish Chassidish Achrayim were very good on the Torah, so one of them wrote a whole sefer dedicated to this topic to prove that the Levush was wrong, and the Beis Yosef never meant it, that it's not true. The sefer is Divrei Chonah. So a good chunk of the sefer is to show that the need for Memsor is Medaraisa. What if a person is a giant and he can't fit into Memsor? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, of course, he has to have a larger mikveh because you can't have Tefillah L'Chatzor. Even according to Rabbi Mishulam, who is wrong, who is dead wrong, that's only by a mayim, but by a mikveh, that we always have a mikveh. You can't have Tefillah L'Chatzor, so you certainly need much more. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes at the beginning of Siman Reish Aleph in Yerideya. Dark Tshuva on Hilchos Mikvaros is not by the regular Dark Tshuva, by the Mukach, it's by his son, by the Hilchos Alozo. So it's sometimes better and sometimes weaker than the regular Dark Tshuva. So on this point, he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, Kfire, Tzapi Kursi. The Gemara says that Memso is Halacha Mashem Mestinei. What do you mean if a person is a giant? You need more than Memso. He says, nobody says such a thing. If a person is a giant, it's also good enough Memso. Very strange, but if the person is a giant and he can't fit into Memsor, so of course you need more than Memsor. What is it? Very strange, Dr. Chu. The second thing the Mishnah said regarding a mikveh is that Zochulim is no good. If you have 40 saw and the water is rolling down the street and it's not confined to Fidanesh Borim, there's no crack in the ground, so your mikveh is no good. Al Pipashtus, this should be a Dindei Araisa. Again, the Beis Yosef quotes a Mordechai, who quotes a Chuvas Maharam Rutenberg, where the Beis Yosef understood the Maharam Rutenberg is saying that Zechner is only a Psul de Rabbanon, which is very, very difficult. The Darki Moshe, by the Ramu, on the bottom of the Beis Yosef, says that that's a misinterpretation of the Maharam Rutenberg, And I'll be pashtus that the Moshe is really right. Not that we're interested in being makran or anything, but the pashat, the reading of the Mamritmer, doesn't read like that at all. He said that something was the Rabbanan, that he doesn't seem at all to be referring to Zerchon. He seems to be referring to a different case, not Zerchon. So I'll be pashtus the need for Memson and Mikvah is a real din d'oraisa, as well as the need for Eshborin. That Zerchon is no good. Shulchan Aruch is a very significant machlokes harishonim quoted regarding the din of Zerchon. What if you have a mikveh that's very deep and it has not 40 saw, it has 80 saw piled up, 80 saw piled up, and you have a hole, a big gap inside of the mikveh, and all the water is flowing out. Nobody forgot to close the hole. All the water is flowing out. So the water up until the hole will ultimately go out, but the water below the hole is not going to go anywhere. So can I be tovim on the bottom of the mikveh? When I say that zochman is no good, does that mean that if there's a hole on the bottom of the mikveh and I'm hurrying to be tovim in that mikveh quickly before all the water goes out, and if I wait another couple of hours, another couple of days possibly, all the water will drain out ultimately. So that's called zochman. I'm tovim in the mikveh, which is omit to disappear because it's going to be zochal away. What happens if I'm tovim on the bottom of the mikveh? The top of that mikveh is going to disappear, it's going to be zochman. So this is a machlokes rishonim. You certainly cannot be tovim on the top part of the mikveh, that's called zochman, because up until the point where the hole is, up until the neck of the tzayin, it lots up. What about the bottom of the mikveh? So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to be machmir at that point. Look, if you're machmir on zochman, so it's practically impossible to ever have any mikveh. Every mikveh has a little seepage. A little bit of the mikveh seeps into the ground, unless you have such a concrete or such a metal mikveh or something that's so good that the water doesn't, if the water evaporates, that's not zochman. But if the water seeps into the ground, it's zochman. So how do you ever have a mikveh? In times of the mission, they didn't have such concrete mikveh. They had a mikveh with dirt on the sides of the mikveh. So every mikveh is zochman. So the Rashba has that kasha. How do you ever have a mikveh? It's always zochman. It's always going to seep in the ground. So the Rashba develops a principle which is accepted in Shulchan Aruch. Everybody assumes you have to accept that principle, that tzila she'en hanikeres doesn't bother me. Only tzila hanikeres is known. It's obvious and it's conspicuous. Well, says that tzila hanikeres, and here's a big question. Some pasuk say if you have a big hole in the side of the mikveh and the water is gushing out, that is tzila hanikeres. But if you have water disappearing all over the place and you can't really see where it is, that's called tzila she'en hanikeres. The question is, so how do you draw the line? What's called gushing mamash, a big hole, a big gap, and you see the water flowing out? What if you have, let's say I have a mikveh, and as I look at the mikveh, I can't see any water gushing anywhere. But if I'll put a mark at the top of the water level now, and I'll come back in a half an hour, I'll see that it went down an inch. But right now, as I watch it, I can't see anything. I don't see where the water is going. Is that called tefila hanikeres or hanikeres? So there are different shittas in our brain regarding this. This is a major serious problem. What are the shiurim of tefila shein hanikeres that you're machshir in? So the Maharsham was a big makel on this point, as well as in many other points. And Darkei Tshuva says that you shouldn't listen to the Maharsham, as my father wrote in the Hakdome to the real Darkei Tshuva, the Darkei Tshuva in the first part of the Yeridei. His son, Minchas Aloz, wrote the Darkei Tshuva on Hilchos Mikvos. He says that my father explained to me that Maharsham is too much of a makel, and here too you shouldn't follow him. Maharsham says that even if a lot of water is going out, as long as it's not really gushing out, it's okay. And different shittas in Ashkenaz, this is a major problem. How do you measure Tshuva? Shein any cares. The din of zochman, we usually assume the din of zochman means if the water is going out. What if the water is coming in? What if we have a situation where water is flowing into the mikveh? Is that also called zochman? I'll be bashed this not. Take for example, we had one opinion in Shulchan Aruch that zochman is only no good if you table in that part of the mikveh which is going to disappear in a few hours. The hole is on the bottom of the mikveh. What if the hole is halfway down and I'm table in the part of the mikveh below the hole? Then it's good, because the water that I'm being table in is going to stay there for a long time. So what's wrong if water is flowing in? So according to that opinion, is it a good? The shaila is according to the other shita, that if that you cannot even, that we're machmir for, that you may not even be table on the bottom part of the mikveh below the hole, even though that part of the water is not oimid lotzeis. So the question is, why is that? So there are some poskim who assume that the vechayim, that's the sons of Rebbe, assume that zochman is possible not only if the water is going out of the mikveh, I mean, Lord says if the water is coming in, it's also zochman. This was considered a big chumrah, and many disagreed until recent years, when more recent poskim discovered that Taisus says like the Dibbecham. The Taisus in Shabbos, that everybody learns, and they learn on Sefer Shabbos. Taisus says the fairish like that. But not only if the water is going out of the mikveh, if there's water from an outside, so it's going into the mikveh, it's also called zochman. That's why many are makbid for the chumra of the Divrei Chayim, that Zerachman is possible in either direction, whether the water is going out or the water is going in. So far we just have two requirements for mikvah. One is that you need memso, which is assumed to be a din deraisa, against the lavush. And the second is that Zerachman is no good, you require eshborin, which is also assumed to be a din deraisa, against the understanding of the Beis Yosef and the Chuvas Maram Rukhman. The third requirement the Mishnah has is that you need mayim. The pasuk says, Rochas Mayim, that you cannot be favorable and make favors. Let's say I have a mikveh, guy's a millionaire, who makes a mikveh with wine, or with liquor, whatever, vodka, something like that, or orange juice, whatever. So the Mishnah says that that's not good. The question is this Minatari Midirabbon? This is really, how can you say that this is Midirabbon? It's not a pasuk in Chumash. It says Mayim. So here the Mordechai has a machloikis. There is one sheet in the Mordechai that this is only Midirabbon. This is very, very strange. We don't accept that opinion at all. We assume that the din of Mayfair is being possible is certainly a din of Atera. In fact, the Mishnah has a Xerah with the Rabbanon not to Mayfair. And if Mayfair itself were only with the Rabbanon, how can you make Xerah with Xerah? In fact, the Mishnah has a din with the Rabbanon that you need Marimai, that if you have water that was in Shtanu Mara, if somebody poured in Havra Kosher of Mikveh, somebody poured in a lot of ink, somebody poured in a lot of orange juice or a lot of purple wine until the color of the the color of the mikveh was changed. Even though I have 40 saw of water there, so the rabban, you're not permitted to be table in that mikveh because it doesn't look like water. It doesn't have a maramai, it has a maramei peiros. So that's exera up to mei peiros. So all the custom assume that if mei peiros itself are only with the rabban, so why would the tanon make exera that if the mikveh is tanon mara, it's possible up to mei peiros? So pashtus is that mei peiros is certainly possible in Atari. Then we have another requirement. The Gemara learns that this is a real din derais. Nobody argues on this one. Gemara has in Zvachim that Kofem Beis at Rosh, based on the pasuk in last week said in Parasha Shmini, the pasuk says Ach Mayim Abor Mikvei Mayim Yihi Yetohar. So the Gemara has at Rosh, this is not the Pshutu Shal Mikvah. Rashi says on the pasuk of Pshutu Shal Mikvah that a mikvah is not Mikabel Tumah. When a Talmidic person falls into a mikvah, like a dead sheriff, or a mace, a person drowns in a mikvah, let's say, and the water in the mikvah doesn't become Tumah. A mikvah is not Mikabel Tumah. Even though water is Mikabel Tumah, but the water that constitutes a kosher mikveh is not mikabel. That's where Rashi says the pasuk shot. Ach mayim, bar mikveh mayim, yihi yetor, a mikveh is a davar she'en mikabel. So the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Chafei Mevei's Darshas on the pasuk yihi yetor, that the pasuk is telling you how to construct a mikveh. Yihi means havayosai de tahara, that when you make a mikveh, you have to make sure that the water reaches your mikveh shalai ayde davar hamikabel tumah. For example, let's say I have a what's a dog on a chair, stender. Let's say I have a pot, I have dog on a cabotuna. Let's say I have a mikveh, and then I have it's raining over here, and in order for the water, let's say the water is a big flood in the street. In order for the water to fall from the street, loads of tons and tons of water, gallons of water running down the street. In order for the water to fall into my mikveh, I have a mikveh in my basement. I have a flood in my basement, so in order for the water to go into my basement, I have to put something there to block the flow of the water, that it should flow this way, into the window, let's say, that it should fall into the mikveh. So if I put a davar hamikabel tumah there, and that causes the water to flow into the mikveh, that's certainly a psul deraisa that nobody disagrees with. That's a gemara zochim daf chafeh. That you need havayoso, the creating of the mikveh should be, the davar she'en hamikabel tumah. Havayoso al-dei tahara. There is a machlokas of rishonim, though, whether this din is limited davke to mayon, or applies even to a mikveh, because the pasuk says the pshut shel mikveh is not referring to creating a mikveh, it's not referring to constructing a mikveh. Pasuk pshat is the way Rashi said, that the mayim, the water of the mikveh and the mayim are not mekabel tumah. This is only a drasha, another level of interpretation of the pasuk. So although the pasuk does mention the word mikveh, several rishonim claim, the Rashi Bor and the Rambam possibly seem to hold that this din of havayosai, the gov hamekabel tumah, is no good, is restricted davke to mayin and doesn't apply to mikveh. In Shulchan Aruch we are machmer like the other Rishonim though, that it even applies to mikveh, and that's why we're machmer about that. Since this is so, it should definitely follow that let's say if I take buckets, I take pails, and I put them outside and I have water rain into the pails, and then I take these buckets and I pour the water into the mikveh, so I'll be pashas, the mikveh would certainly be possible in Atar. Because I had Habiyasa, I did go to Hamikabel Tumah. I took the water in a bucket and I poured it directly into the mikveh. what kind of a better kind of Havilas I Dava Hamakabu Tumi can you have there? Kli is a Dava Hamakabu Tumi. Not only if I take buckets, pails that have a base kibul, and I pour the water into the mikveh, should it be kosher? Even let's say in a different case, let's say I have a mikveh like we usually construct a mikveh, in a building or in a basement or something, and I have rainwater collect on the roof, and then I have let's say drain pipes leading from the roof into the basement into the mikveh, and the drain pipes are metal, let's say metal pipes, which are mekabel tumah even though they have no base kibul. Let's say I have a sheet of metal. If I have a chunk of metal which is not a kli, so that's not mekabel tumah. But if I have a pshute kli matris, I have a flat piece of metal which I use for something, so then it is mekabel tumah even though it has no base kibul, even though it has no toch. So what if I have, let's say, drain pipes which are pshute kli matris, which are mekabel tumah, and even though I attach them to a building, and once I attach the thing to the building, it has a din of mechuber, and once it's a din of mechuber, it loses its din of kli. The Gemara explains in Perek Merubim, Bava Kamen, and Bava Basir, in Amechas Abayis, Daf Samavav, that that's only Minatir itself, that any kli which you attach to the ground loses a din kli Minatir. But with the Rabbana, they instituted a Chumrah, that if it had a din of kli already before you attached it to the ground, then attaching it to the ground does not cancel a din kli with respect to din of deraisa. So the din of Haviyasai, the Dava Hamakabal Tum, is a din deraisa. So if I have, let's say, a Pshuti kli matris, a metal drain pipe, which is Dava Hamakabal Tum, and I attach it to a building, even though Minatari, it loses its din kli, because the kli must be a Dava Hamakabal Tum, anything that's in kli cannot have a din of the kli. But in the Rabbana, we are machin, since it already had a din kli, so it remains Dava, it's considered still a Dava Hamakabal Tum, for purposes of passing the mikveh. So then the mikveh would be no good. With the Rabbana, not Minatera, because once I attached it, it was it's no longer Mekabel. But with the Rabbana, I would consider it there as a as Havayosai, the Dava HaMekabel Tum. The question is that that's the way many communities constructed their mikveh. How in the world did they do that? So they always made mikvahs in Europe, so what's going on? So the Achranim all explained that they didn't use metal drain pipes that were Dava HaMekabel Tum. Not every Pshuti Klei Matris is Dava HaMekabel Tum. If you have a knife that doesn't have any base kibul, that's called a pshuti klei matris. Or if you have, let's say, metal plates, let's say, or the lid of a pot is a pshuti klei matris, that would be a dava hamakabel tum. But let's say I have metal drain pipes which have no base kibul, you cannot hold any water, there's not a toch in it, the water goes in one end and goes out the other end. If you have pshuti klei matris which are manufactured with the intention of attaching them to the ground, so then the Mishnah is saying, Maseh has Kalim, that such a Kli is not Mekabel Tumah. Pshuti, any Kli, a Kli which was made Adaita with the intention of attaching to the ground is not Mekabel Tumah. So that's what the Poskim all explained, that in Europe they used to use, in America also a lot of places they do like that. You use metal drains which are made to be attached to buildings. You're not supposed to use a pipe that's not intended to be attached. If it's not intended to be attached to the pipe, you can throw it off Mekabel Tumah. And it will be a psula of Havayos Ayidei Tumah. You have to use a drain pipe which is made Adaita to be attached to the ground. What do you mean to be attached to the ground? You don't attach drains to the ground, you attach drains to buildings which are attached to the ground. And this is also a chumah from Ungar Shachrayim. That some Achrayim had a taina that when does the Mishnah say that the Mishnah and Kalim say that a kli which was manufactured Adaita, let's say, a pipe that was manufactured, metal pipes constructed or made with the intention of attaching them to the ground and on the Kabel Tumah, that's if you want to attach them to the Karka Mamish. But if you want to attach them to a Mechubala Karka, although Mechubala Karka Domi, but it's not with respect to this, that the Kli that was made to be attached to a building, which is Mechubala Karka Domi, that's not the same. That's why many parcel those types of mitzvot, which were very common in many sections of Europe. So Roy and Gedolei HaAchrayim say that it's not so. You say that it's against Mishnayos, and it's not true. If it was made Adaita to be attached to a building which is attached to the ground, it's also not considered a Dava HaMekabel Tumah, and it's a kosher mikveh, it's called Havayosai Al Yedei Tahara. In Shulchan Aruch there's a big discussion exactly how far do you go in this psul of Havayosai Al Yedei Tumah. I gave an example before, if there are floods of water rolling in the street, and then I put out the table or a chair to divert the course of the water and to cause it to fall into my mikveh, that's a real Havayosai Al Yedei Tahara. The kli is causing the water to fall into the mikveh. That would be a psul d'oraisa. What happens, for example, if I have a pressure in it for the past 40 soul, but the water is so shallow, I cannot be table in the water. The person cannot fit in that water. And he takes, let's say, he takes all of his dishes, pots in his pan, and he puts them on one side of the mikveh, in order to have the water from that side displaced, and so that the other side will be twice as deep, will be deeper. So the Mishnah says, if you have a shallow mikveh, koresh, you should place on one side of your mikveh, chavilei yetzim, chavilei kanim, you should place bundles of straw, or bundles of twigs, or all kinds of junk. Put whatever you want on the other side. Why does the Mishnah say chavilei yetzim, chavilei kash? Why does it say bundles of twigs or bundles of straw? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of somebody, Mishonim, that it has to be dafka davar sheni mekabel tumah. But if you put pots and pans there, that's considered havayasai de davar hamekabel tumah. That gun is a very big chiddush, because the mikveh really was kosher. The mikveh has 40 soul over machanach. The only thing is that you're too fat to fit in. The guy is too big to fit in, he can't lay down in the mikveh. If it was a little weight, he'd be able to squeeze in. It's not deep enough for him. So just because you're shifting the water to the other side, that's considered havayasai de davar hamekabel tumah. That's a chiddush. That's in Shulchan Aruch. We are machmer for that. That too is considered havayasai de davar hamekabel tumah. What happens, however, if I have a mikveh? What if I have a mikveh and there's a hole in the side of the mikveh? So the water is flowing out, so the mikveh is no good. It's a vehicle. And then somebody comes with a plug and he plugs up the hole. So is that considered haviyos? And the person is a double hamakabakuma. So would that be considered haviyos? I double hamakabakuma. So the Mishnah seems to finish that that's okay. So this is the question, why is that okay? This is zikr absurd. Zechlin is zikr no good. And if you have a plug that's not going to hold by itself and you have to have somebody to hold it, it should not be considered haviyosai de dover hamakabel tumah. So all of us can give the same answer, that no. That when you have the plug stopping the spot where the hole is and the water is not flowing out, so the mikveh is kosher. The only thing is, if nobody holds on to the plug, so the water will start, the force of the water will force the plug to fall out and the water will be gushing out. You will have zochman. So the person is there just to keep the mikveh kosher. The mikveh is kosher because the water is not zeichlan. You just need the person to continue its hechsher. So that's not called havayosai, adigav hamakabel tumah. Havayi means the creation of the hechsher mikveh. But if the mikveh is kosher already and the adigav hamakabel tumah is used to preserve its hechsher, this is not called havayosai, adigav hamakabel tumah. This is a mishnah. It's a mishnah. Chazanish, based on that mishnah, made quite a hop and a jump. And he extended this to Hilchas Sukkah, that the din is that schach, the davar hamakabel tumah, is no good. If you have, let's say, wooden kalim, schach has to be the carcass, it can't be metal anyway. So you have to have wood. So let's say you have wood, but the wooden kalim, you have tables and chairs, wooden kalim. So you can't use that for the schach. What happens if I have a kosher schach on top of the Sukkah? But I'm afraid that the wind may blow away the schach. If I put a davar hamakabel tumah on top of it, to weigh it down, that it shouldn't fly away. So here, it's not that the davaham and the minatayr the din is that davaham kabakum is not good for schach. That's a psul deraisa. The rabbanan is a din that not only is it not good for schach, he cannot be mamid for schach for the davaham kabakum. That's on the Shulchan Aruch's machlokes. There's machlokes in the Gemara, but there is such a din in the rabbanan. Machlokes on Aroyim, and there's machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch's paskim, and there's a steer in Shulchan Aruch regarding the psach, whether mamid for davaham kabakum is good or not good. So many amachmed and amami, but davar hamakabel tumah is no good for stock. Stock shouldn't be supported by davar hamakabel tumah. This is again the deal. Let's say you have metal bars holding up your stock, that's davar hamakabel tumah. It's no good. You have to have the davar hamamid of the stock, should be, or let's say sometimes people have ropes holding up the stock or something like that. But if it's supporting the stock, so then it would be a shayla of mamid, davar hamakabel tumah.
Or if you wouldn't nail the stock in.
The Shulchan Aruch talks about that. We'll mention a little bit the Chazanish answer. So the Chazanish says that when they say that it's a mamid davar hamakabel tumah, if you would take away the davar hamamid, the whole schach would fall down. But what happens? So that's called mamid. The davar hamakabel tumah is supporting the schach. You're creating the hechsher sukkah like the davar hamakabel tumah. But what happens if the sukkah is staying as it is? That kosher is sukkah. The only thing is that you use the davar hamakabel tumah to prevent the schach from flying away. In other words, that the sukkah shouldn't become possible. Sukkah as it stands is kosher, except that the wind blows, the wind may passel it, so the davar hamakabel tumah is put on top to weigh it down. Okay, so I put a typewriter on top of something to hold it, some heavy, I put a metal bar on top that the schach shouldn't fly down. So then the Chazanish claims that that's kosher. Take for example, you want to know, what if you put a nail to hold the sukkah? So according to this Chazanish, it should be like this. if I have schach on top of my sukkah, and the schach doesn't reach the two ends, there's one wall, another wall, and the schach just reaches from one to the other, and there's nothing holding it up. And I bang the nails this way. I bang the nail here, and the nails are dama makabatumah, and the nails hold up the schach. And if I pull out the nails, the whole schach collapses. So that's called mamet dama makabatumah. So if the schach reaches over from one wall to the other, I'm just afraid that the kids are going to push around there, the wind is going to blow, and I bang nails on the top down, that the schach should move away. But even without the nails, the schach is kosher. I'm just afraid that in a few minutes it's going to become nifsal. According to the Chazon Ish, there wouldn't be any shar. This Chazon Ish is against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch said the Feirish, the whole case. Shulchan Aruch and Chasukah describes the case where the person has schach on the roof, and then he puts a heavy weight on top of the schach to make sure that it doesn't fly away. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to be careful not to put a weighty thing, which is a davar hamakabel tumah, that is considered davar hamakabel tumah. The pashtus is that the mashal of the Chazon Ish is very difficult. He makes a mashal between mikveh and hamoros haschach. They're two different things. By mikveh, it's a din d'oraisa of ach mayim bo mikveh mayim yihi yatoha. Yihi means havayosar deitar. It means the construction of the mikveh. So constructing the mikveh means making the mikveh, creating the mikveh. The mikveh is already there. You just want to preserve its texture. So then the post can explain that that's what the Mishnah says, that it's okay. The mikveh already is kosher. You just want to cause that it should remain, it should retain its kashrus. That's not called havayosar deitar harakabatim. But by schach, you're not talking about a din of creating a super creating schach. It's a din of mamid. It's a mamid of apikashtis. The Shulchan Aruch assumes against the Chazon Ish. It's considered, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it from Shuvas HaRajba, by putting a ladder on top of the schach. The ladder is the tabatumah, so it's considered mamid v'dava hamkabatumah. So by schach, it's a different din. Mamid is not the same thing as havaya, creating a hechsher sukkah, creating schach. Mamid is a din. Does that help in keeping the sukkah in fit shape? So the pashtus is that they're not necessarily related. There is another din of mayim shuvim. The din is that if you have water that was collected in pots or pans that have a base kibul, the mayim shuvim is no good for the mikveh. Again, if I take buckets of water and I pour them directly into the mikveh, and the buckets are things that are mekabel tumah, most buckets are mekabel tumah. Most kelim are mekabel tumah unless they clay klolim, clay avonim, clay adoma. Kelim that are carved out of rocks are not mekabel tumah. But normal kelim are mekabel tumah. Also not mekabel tumah. So let's have a plastic bucket. A plastic bucket is davar shein mekabel tumah. So if I take a plastic bucket and I pour water into the mikveh, so the mikveh will not be possible in that term because of havayasa yidavar mekabel tumah. Possibly it should be possible because the person is pouring and the person is davar mekabel tumah. That's what Achronim discussed. Maybe it will be possible. Forget about the kli. The person is pouring. We got that possibility. So let's say in such a case, the mikveh will only have a problem of mayim shuvim. Because the water that's collected in a pot that has a base kibul is considered shaul, and mayim shuvim is no good for a mikveh. What happens if I have a whole mikveh that's mayim shuvim? Mishnah say that mayim shuvim is only a din d'rabbanan, and that's why we have loads and loads of kulos. That's the beginning of the second heretic in the Torah. What do you mean that mayim shuvim is d'rabbanan? The whole din of mayim shuvim is only d'rabbanan? So the poskim have four shitas regarding mayim shuvim. The Shulchan Aruch has a machloikis in the Chabad Ramah, where the shuvim is ever d'oraisa. The Chabad Pasuk is that mayim shuvim is never d'oraisa. That's the opinion of the Rig, Bala Tosfos, and Bava Basra, Daf Samavov. These are big Tosfos. Perek Yeruba, there's also such a Tosfos. But the main Tosfos is Bava Basra, Samavov. But the Rig's opinion that mayim shuvim is never d'oraisa, always d'rabbanan, that's on the Chabad Pasuk. The Ramah is machmer like the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam, and that Tosfos in Bava Basra, Samavov, that if it's kulo shol, varubo shol, the mikveh is pasul men atoyim. What is the rubo shor? The mikveh has to have 40 saws. If I have 21 saws of mayim non-shuvim, then I can fill up the rest with the remaining 19 saws of water. I can use mayim shuvim in atoyim, and it's only with the rabbanon that the mikveh will be possible. It makes a big difference whether mayim shuvim is ever the rice of the rabbanon. In certain cases of sveikas, that you have to be machmir, that you have to be makom. But the Mishnayos have in the beginning of the second paragraph of the course loads and loads of kulas regarding mayim shuvim. So the question is, do those kulas always apply? Of shalav shuvim, but if it only apply when you have rubo non-shol, the rub of the mikveh is not mayim shuvim. You only have a miyut of mayim shuvim, then it's only a shalav de rabbanon. Then you can be made. So the Ramah is machmir like the shitas Rabbi Natan and the Rashbam. But kulo shol, if the entire mikveh shuvim or rubo shol, rubo kekulo, if kulo shol or rubo shol, your mikveh is no good min atoyim. However, the din of gimel rubi mayim shuvim. Let's say I already have 21 shuvim. who would be kosher min ha'tayr. I fill up the remaining 19 soek, 21 soek, regular water. I fill up the remaining 19 soek. I'm sure that would only be a psul de rabbanim. The Tosfos is read at the end of my sentence. Yumer, and the Rav Perry claimed that this would not have... So of water, you mashlim the shear with mine shul of water from buckets and water contained in the pots and pans, then the mikveh is adayin lo nishlam. The mikveh is not full yet min ha'tayr. The din of mine shul that's on the rabbanon is a different din. If I have a mikveh of 21 soah and then I pour in 19 soah of mine shul, so min ha'tayr I can't be tovel in the mikveh, but so I only have 21 soah. So what happens if another 19 soah of rain water will fall in by itself without anybody taking in a pot or a pan? So then when I tell you the mikveh will be good. So then there's a din with the rabbanon that gimel lubim mayim shuvim ruin the mikveh, kassel the mikveh, and it cannot become kosher later on, even if another 19 soah of rainwater will fall in by itself, because once three lugim, that's a small amount, once three lugim of mayim shuvim fell into the mikveh before I had the full 40 soah, the entire mikveh is no good. The zecha yitzchak, the yitzchak panavesha, the Rashid in front of it before the war, as a Chiddush Niflo, he was considered, Chaim considered him the greatest Talmud Chadash of their door. And in truth, he has quite a few Chiddushes. He has a Chiddush Niflo here regarding Kulo Shol. He suggests that perhaps we should distinguish between a mikveh where we're interested in being betired the needle of Bailo, or we're interested in being betired the needle of Taris. If you have a woman who's a needle, so there are two dinim. The woman who's a needle is an Avatumah, she's Metame people, or Kalim, or Ochlim that she touches. And then number two, the woman who's a nida is also asur al bailo. So he thinks that the din of mayim shuvim can only be with the rabban. He doesn't think shuvim is the rice at all. Ever, never. There is a din, however, mayim shuvim is the rice if it's in the form of habiyosai ayde tumah. If the water is contained in buckets that are makabel tumah, wooden buckets, metal buckets, not plastic buckets or rock pots, clay avonim. If the water is, let's say, contained in a kli hamakabel tumah, then it'll be a psul deraisa havayasai didav hamakabel tumah. So he says, but let's think for a minute. What should be so bad? Why is there a din that havayasai didav hamakabel tumah is no good? What's wrong? So he says, apparently the Torah wants a person who's tumah, he wants to become tahor by immersing in a mikveh. We require that mikveh should be adav tahor, and that mikveh will accomplish tahara ani. And for that mikveh to be adav tahor, the construction of that mikveh has to be hayrasa v'laydasa b'tahara. It has to be from the very beginning, has to be made out of tahara. And if the mikveh was havayasa, they dava hamkabel tumah, so it's already no good. How can that mikveh that started off with something that had the ability, that was susceptible to hamkabel tumah, how can that mikveh accomplish tahara on me? But what if I'm not interested in tahara? What if I'm an isha? I'm a nidah of a bailan. I just want to take off the isha nid. I don't want to become tameyo. These are two different things. It's possible for a woman to be tameyo as a nidah and the terrorist of a bailan, and it's possible to be asura bailan and to be tahara. These two are unrelated. Rabbi Chanan has a mind when you bummus. Tevetzoros, when it shows from Hashem, then you can have one without the other. Places in Rabbi Kamdaf Yidal, it all sounds like that. You can have one without the other. So this is the Parvashah has this Kiddush Niflo. He thinks that Mayim Shuvim is only the Rabbanah. The only time it could be a din der Reis is when it's Havayasai Dedova Hamakabal Tumah. When the pots of pans Hamakabal Tumah. So he says, and then what's the din? It's Havayasai Dedova Tumah. What's wrong with that? So he thinks that's only no good when you want the mikveh to be mitahir somebody or something. But if it's just a mikveh, to be matan and ishul abayla, not to take off any tumor, he thinks that the kula shol would only be the rabban. His opinion is not accepted by Allah. The Ramah passed the Gefeirish and Shulchanot that a kula shol or rubo shol is manazeh, Allah Almighty. For women who are taiko, they're not interested in becoming tohor, the tumor of atar, they're interested in become muta labayla. So the Ramah passed the Allah that kula shol or rubo shol is no good than atar. These are the four sheetahs regarding shulchan. She's Rabban, the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam, the Ramura, that Kulo Shov is deraisa, the Shita Saliva HaMechaber, that Shuvim is never deraisa, the place is rid, that it's not deraisa that it can ruin the mikveh, but it is deraisa that Mayim Shuvim is never mitzuruf to be mashlim the shear of Memso for the mikveh. And this suggestion of the Zecha Yitzchak, which is quite a fantastic idea, that's what Chaim said, he was the Baal Mechadish of the Ador, very Mechadish things, that he suggested a distinction between a mikveh of Tahara and a mikveh to be Mata Risha the Baal.
So when to Zechi Yitzchak, a Mikvah Tara, would it be possible with Shu'uvim or?
Only Shu'uvim, which was Ayde Dovahan Kabatuma.
Shu'uvim Ayde Dovahan
Kabatuma. Right, if it was in a Kli, if the water was contained in a Kli, which is Dovahan Kabatuma. But let's say contained in a Kli Avon, Kli Avon, Kli Avon, or a plastic container, then it would only be the Rabon, it couldn't be the Arise. What do you do if you have a Mikvah that's Maim Shu'uvim, that's what we have all the time? Turn on the faucet and we assume that perhaps the water coming from the reservoir into the mikveh passed through some kelim which had a base kibul, and the water was contained there for a second and then passed on. So if you should assume that the tap water is mine shuvim, so how do you ever have a kosher mikveh? So we get kosher mikveh from the rainwater. We have water collected on top of the roof, like the mikveh here in Washington. I say water collected on the roof. And it comes down either with these pipes on the outside, even though they're attached to the building, and some are machranat, so you have a chute, like you have nail chutes in the building, so you have a chute that takes the water down in the building from the roof to the bottom that doesn't have any metal on the side, it just has concrete around. So that for sure is no davam kabatum, no shash at all. But the question is, if you're going to have 1,000 people be tevil in such a mikveh, the water will be filthy. So the people are not tevil in the mikveh of the water that comes down from the roof itself. What they do in every mikveh is, they have rainwater collected, 40 soil rainwater collected in one mikveh. And then they have another mikveh, they have two boros, that's one boro. A boro is the edge boro and the crack in the ground. Then you have another boro where you turn on regular water from the tap, and you turn on water from the reservoir, and it goes in, so you have a mikveh of Maim Shuvim, which is clean water, and everybody's table in that. No, so that's no good, Maim Shuvim is no good. So the answer is you have a connection, you have this water connected to the other water. You have a din in the Mishnah, that you can be machshe Maim Shuvim Ayidei HaShoken. Have a mikveh of 40 soul of Maim Shuvim, which you're not allowed to be table in, which is open into a mikveh of 40 soul kosher water, which I could have been table in if I want to, except that it's dirty and filthy, so I don't want to. But since this clean mikveh with the Maim Shuvim is connected to the kosher mikveh, so I can be table in this mikveh right now. That's called HaShok. There is a machlokes, the Shach and Yerodeh, who has been closing in Reshalaf Kotel, Rabbi Yeruchim, who has two opinions regarding Hashokah. Does Hashokah accomplish by Maim Shuvim that it's no longer called Maim Shuvim, and the water is attached to a kosher mikveh, and loses its tzul of Maim Shuvim? So even if you stop up, if you put the stopper back, you can still be tevil in this mikveh. Once I open the plug, I can even close it again, and the mikveh with the Maim Shuvim is no longer Shuvim. Or he's saying, no, that only works if you have Maim Tmeim, you have Tomedik of water. And I make a Hashoka with a mikveh, and then I take my Tomedik of water out of the mikveh, so once the Tumah disappears, it's not going to come back Yesh Mayai. But if you have Maim Shuvim, they remain Shuvim even after a Hashoka. The only thing is that Kol Zman, that the mikveh with the Maim Shuvim is connected to the Kosher mikveh, so I can be tevil in this mikveh because it's connected to the Kosher mikveh. So by representation, it's considered as if I'm tevil in the Kosher mikveh. But that's only Kol Zman that the plug is open. This is a machlokes. The Shach quotes machlokes from the Rabbi Yeruchim, and the Achrayim say that it's proper to be machmer on that point, that a person should be tevil in the mikveh with the Maim Shuvim only while the plug is open. You should be makbid not to close up the plug before you're tevil. In Achrayim, and Bemis is a source of Rishonim for this, the Mili and Makis in the beginning raises this point, exactly how he's supposed to do Hashok. So Rav Achrayim assumed that to do Hashok, by having one bore next to the other. I have one bore where the water came, the water that was collected on the roof falls into a chute or through the metal drain pipes on the outside of the building goes into the one bore. And then I have another bore, another big mixer, where I just turn on the faucet and I fill it up with Maim Shuvim and I connect the two together with a hole in between one mixer and the other. That's what's generally assumed to be Hashok. I connected the one mixer with the Maim Shuvim to the other mixer with the Maim Shuvim. There is a chumrah from Echsam Sofer, which is rooted in the Miri in the beginning of Bacchus. Echsam Sofer says that how does the din of Hashokah work? So Rashi says in several places, din of Hashokah is based on Zriya. When I take some tomedicket potatoes and I plant them in the ground, and they grow new potatoes out of them, or anything that's tomed, any that have kernels of grain, and I plant them in the ground, and new ones come out, so then the din is that the new ones are not tomed. Whenever I plant something in the ground, and I have a Zriya, so the Zriya is mitahar the vegetables, and the things that are growing. So likewise, there's a concept of Zriya by Mayim. That if I have Talmudic and Mayim, and I put them in a mikveh, so they can become part of the mikveh, as if they are reattached to the ground, and that's how they lose their tumah. So the same way that Zriya accomplishes that the Mayim Tumayim can lose its tumah, Rashi explains it only works by Mayim. If you have orange juice or something else, let's say wine, It's tame. You cannot get rid of the tumah ide hashaka only by water, because water is the only thing that can be connected to another body of water, and that's called the zriya. So just like there's a din of zriya regarding mayim tmeim, that if you make a hashaka it loses its tumah, so too there's a concept of zriya regarding mayim shuvim. So based on that Rashi, that the idea behind hashaka by shuvim is that what you're doing is a zriya. If some sefer has a chumra based on this meiri beginning of Marcus, that in order to have zriya, what you have to do is you take a kernel of grain, or you take these potatoes and you put them in the middle of the ground in order that it should grow. I take a potato and I put it on top of the earth, on top of the grass, it's not going to grow. Zriya means that I plant it in the middle and have up on a mile or a mata, then it's going to grow. So likewise, if that's shot in mayim tmeim, or mayim shuvim, when you make hashoka, so you should have to take the mayim shuvim and stick it into the middle of a mikveh. I have, let's say, a kosher mikveh. Let's say this room is a kosher mikveh. So if I'll just put mayim shuvim in the other room and open up a door, and the two will be connected, that's not enough. That's not good enough. That's called a zriya. If I have earth over here and I have a potato sitting next to the earth, how is that zriya? Zriya means I stick the potato in, I have a tomato, a fruit, a vegetable or something, I put it in the middle of the earth. So if I take mayim shuvim, my mayim tmeim, I put it in the middle of the kosher, in the middle of the kosher mikveh. So that's why there's a chumah to have davka mikveh ayidei zriya. It's a term that the Achrayim invented, Zriya. So Rashi has the Lashon, but he didn't mean anything, he didn't mean this concept. And Achrayim, when they speak of Zriya, they mean that you have to not turn on the faucet and fill up one bore with Mayim Shuvim and then have a Hashoka to a kosher bore where the water came from the roof, the rainwater collected from the roof. No, you have to turn on the faucet, you have to have a mikveh with water that came from the roof, and turn on the faucet in the middle of the mikveh, and then have that mikveh overflow. So the overflowing water is all kosher water, because he made his zriya. There is, however, a problem with this type of zriya. It's a chumrah, but it's a chumrah d'asa l'day kula. You get involved in another shayla. Because the Gemara has a din of Yivamis, that for days, of Nosan Sor v'Notal Sor, that it's only kosher ad rubo. It means like this, if I have a mikveh of 40 Sor, so the din is that the mikveh has to be water. You can't have any payers. If I have, let's say, orange juice, it's no good. Pash, this is, we pass can again for the king and more time. Who says it's only the Rabbanu, we pass an orange juice is no good than a Torah. But the terrorist keeps on saying Mayim, talk about Mayim, means you have to have Dafke Mayim, and they terrorists are no good. So what happens like this, I have a mikveh 40 Su, and somebody pours in a whole bucket full of orange juice. So that's okay, the mikveh doesn't become pasta just because a little orange juice mixed in. It's sticky, but it's still kosher. Let's say after pouring in one Su of orange juice, somebody comes, before the orange juice had a chance to seep down to the bottom, somebody comes with a bucket, or let's say there's a drain on the bottom, and they let out one saw of water. So now what you really have is 39 saw of water and one saw of orange juice. And the Mishnah says that that's okay. If Nasan saw, somebody poured in one saw, one mikveh has to have 40 saw, 40 units of water. So after the mikveh had the 40 units, somebody poured in one unit of meiperis, and then I let out one unit of water, the mikveh is still good. How long can you do this trick? After a while, you're going to have no water left. So the Gemara says, ad rubo. If I poured in one bucket of meiperis and I let out one bucket of water, I poured in another bucket, kept on doing this. If I did this 20 times, so if I did it already, I poured in 20 saw of meiperis and I let out 20 saw of the original mikveh, then it's no good because I no longer have a row of water. It's considered a hashash that I have, even though by now the meiperis is already spreading around and everything is all mixed up, so you can't really determine that you have really removed more than 20 saw of water. Still, the Gemara says that it's no good. It's only with the Rabbanim, and I tell you it is good, because each time I let in a little Neperis, the Neperis will bother the rub and convert it into Maim. So if you didn't, all mikveh is Maim. If you didn't, all things is good. So then with the Rabbanim, and Nosan Sor, Notal Sor, is only good at Rubo. In past Rubo, it's no good. That's the Gemara Yivam is not paper. So the question is, this Gemara is basically speaking about Neperis. What happens if I have a different case, not Neperis? I have a kosher and mikveh, 40 Sor, Maim Ksherim that came from the roof. And then I pour in one Sor, a Maim Shuvim. And then I let out one saw of my mayim shuvim, and I keep on doing this many times. So what would be the din in this case? So this is a machlokas in Rishon. So the pashtus is that this shouldn't bother me. Why? Because the pashtus is, we mentioned before, two opinions from the Shach B'Shem Rabbi Yerucham. What if you have a mikvah of mayim shuvim, which you connected and you attach to a mikvah of mayim shuvim, and then you close the plug, and it's no longer attached. So the pashtus is that once you've attached it to the mikvah shuvim, so it's no longer called Mayim Shuvim, so the Opsul Mayim Shuvim goes off. But there was one opinion in the Shah, and many Achrayim say you should be choshish for that opinion, that the person should only be tevil in the mikveh when the plug is open. In other words, that Maim Shuvim, the Shem Shuvim never disappears. It always remains Shuvim. The only thing is that Kozman that you make for Maim Shuvim is still connected to the Mikvah Maim Shem. You can be table in that Mikvah because by representation it's considered as if you're table in a branch of the main Mikvah. You're really being table in the other Mikvah, not in this one. This one is still Maim Shuvim. If you should follow that opinion that the Maim Shuvim remains Maim Shuvim even after the Hashoket, then you have a small group of Rishonim, but significant Rishonim, who hold, Rambam will write it, significant Rishonim who hold that the psul of Nasan Sur, the Natal Sur, only works out Rubo, is not limited dafkit to May Paris, but even applies to Maim Shuvim. So, in this case where I want to be Machmir, that I don't want to fill up my one bor with the pasul of water, with the tap water, and then have a kosher bor next to it and just have a connection between the two. No. I want to be machmir to have dafka what the Achleim calls riyah. I want to have the water, I want to turn on a faucet right that's in the middle of the kosher and mikveh. And if it's in the middle and the mind shouldn't come to the middle, then it's called a hashokah. Then it's called his riyah. I put the parcel of water, the mind shouldn't make the water right in the middle of the kosher and mikveh. That's fine. And then you're not table in that mikveh, you let this water overflow. But then after a while, after a very short while, none of your original water is going to be left there. You had originally 40 soil that came from the roof. Now every day you keep on changing the mikvah because people use it and the water gets dirty. So you let in a lot of water from the tap into the kosher mikvah and you have it all, and it reaches a point, a level at which you have 100 soil or whatever, and then it flows over into a different mikvah and the people are table there. So this is good just for a few minutes or for a few hours, but after a while, so much water will be flowing into the second mikvah, you for sure will have lost most of your original 40 saw that came down from the roof. So what you have done is Nasan saw, Vinatal saw, Yaisdami Rubo. But you're not dealing here with May Paris, you're dealing with Maim Shuv. So according to most Rishonim, it's Kosher. According to a small group of significant Rishonim, Kosher Rishonim, it's Pasul. So what they do in many mikvahs is that the latest Chumra is that they have three boros. That you have three boros. That you, you have one bor of rainwater that sits there le'olam v'od. And then you have another bor of rainwater, two different bors of rainwater. One bor that sits there that you don't touch. Another bor of rainwater in which you open up your tap and you let the water make what they call the zriyah. And the parcel of water of the Maim Shuvim comes right into the middle of the kosher water, the kosher mikveh. Then it flows into the middle mikveh which is empty. After it flows into the middle mikveh for a while, you're going to have a Nasan Sov, a Nasan Sov, it's going to be Yosem Yerubo. So this mikveh can't help anymore. So to take care of that problem, you rely on the hashoka to the other mikveh. You make a hashoka to the other mikveh, which stands there forever. If you be choshish for both opinions, you still haven't solved your problem. If you were paskin that Nasan Sov and Nasan Sov is no good past rubo, even by Maim Shuvim, and you're paskin that you need daf kizriya, then you're still up the creek. So the Chazanish says that nobody ever paskin like that, and you don't have to worry about that, and he considers this also too much of a chumrah. You should have that for three bars. But that's in many places they make three bars. Late, so I'll just close with one more point. The Shulchan Aruch has done many interesting dinim in Hilchos Mikvos. Not really something that's so apparent, but very cheerful.
They call them the old, and they're all close to the family, and they're all together.